Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. The Single Mom Success Podcast, episode 32. There is a gap between what the cutoff is for child care assistance and what one would actually have to earn in order to afford child care. And for me, it was about $15,000 annually. This is the Single Mom Success Podcast, where we cover all the glorious mess that is life as a single parent and how you can navigate through to become the best version of yourself and how to live the life you desire. Do you want to get weekly email reminders of your awesomeness? Head on over to thesinglemomblog.com to sign up today. Now, let's get started. Hey, everybody, and welcome to today's Single Mom Success Podcast. I hope that you are having an awesome day and that things are going fabulously for you. If they are not, don't worry, they will be soon. Keep positive, 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 positive. So today's podcast is dedicated to a specific person. And this is a person that I love because this person is a member of my family. And so I love them in the fact that they are a member of my family. However, this person and I do not agree on pretty much anything. Anything. We don't agree on anything. So for many of you who have followed my podcast, I believe that somewhere along the lines I've mentioned where I came from, where I grew up, and a little bit of my family background. But if you have not, or just in case I have not, I'm going to kind of go over it again. So it was a dark and stormy night when I was born. No, I honestly don't know if it was dark or stormy, but I was born in Virginia. So I'm not originally a Colorado native, but I consider myself a Colorado native because I've lived here since I was about 8. So I've been here long enough to become a native. But I was born originally in Virginia, and I grew up in a very teeny tiny town in Virginia called Haymarket. Now, up until, I don't know, about 15 years ago, nobody knew where Haymarket was. Like, they didn't know. It's a little teeny tiny town inside of another tiny town inside of Manassas, okay? And not everybody knew where Manassas was either. So I used to always tell people there was only a couple of people who would even know where Haymarket was or even recognize the name. It would be Civil War buffs, because the cities that I grew up in, there were some battles, the Battle of Haymarket, the Battle of Manassas. So if you remember anything about the Civil War, there were battles there. And so people would remember it from that. Which made it very cool when I grew up. We used to go all over the place. There's a bunch of Civil War stuff, a bunch of monuments. There's a stone house there that used to be used as a hospital that you can occasionally take tours in. It's very cool. You can go up to the top of the hill there and see the battlefields. You can take walks. I mean, you could tour the basic battlefields and kind of just see where these battles took place and some of the homes and structures that are still there. It's very cool. If you've never done it, I highly recommend it if you're ever back east. But anyway, so I grew up there. And I lived there until I was about 8, and then I moved out to Colorado with my father. So living in this small town in Virginia, now one of the things that's kind of funny about Virginia is if you're from Virginia, you consider yourself to be part of the South. Quote, unquote, the South. Kind of. Okay. And it sounds weird because it's not technically the South, it's the East Coast, and there's a bunch of, but anyway, you are Southern, kind of. You grew up with the Southern mentality, you know, they have accents back there. It's very funny, I have friends that make fun of me. If I go back home for a while and I spend a significant amount of time there, I come back with an accent. I come back with my accent, and I'm throwing around y'alls and ain'ts, and I'm, you know, and it's just weird. But when I first go back there, my family and my cousins, they sound a little funny because I distinctly hear their accents because I'm not used to hearing it. And then all of a sudden I'll sort of slide back into mine and then everything's good in the world again. But so I grew up in a family out there. We lived with my grandparents. And for a brief period of time, my uncle lived in the home with us, and because I think he was still a teenager. I remember him being in high school, I think. I'm pretty sure. It was a really long time ago. But this young man, and all the way up until now, his mission in life was to make me miserable, right? That was his goal. And he was very good at it. Like, chase me with the riding lawnmower, like, not, like, I fell down, I got, like, candy apple stuck in my hair or something. Like, he would terrorize me. He would scare me. He would tease me. He would do anything in his power to make me cry. And basically, he was just a jerk, right? So he was equivalent of having, like, a teenage older brother. Sucked. It sucked, right? Because I was an only child, right? So this dude, like, he just, and to this day, I honestly feel that my uncle, really, he just doesn't like me. And that's fine. I'm okay with that. I still love him because he's my family. So I have to love him. But I grew up in this Southern household with him and my grandfather, who was, you know, originally from Pennsylvania, but still had that sort of Southern mentality. And he had that deep South, older, old school mentality. Women had a place. Women had a, you know, thing. Like, they had a, they had their specific things that they were good for, right? That's what it was. So I grew up in a fairly, what most would consider redneck family. My uncle, whom I don't get along with, he has some very differing viewpoints than I do. He's very right-wing. He's very conservative. He does not like liberals at all. In fact, he calls them something very offensive, which I will not repeat, because I don't like the word that it's combined with. And anytime anyone shows a differing opinion than him, it's on. Like, it is on like Donkey Kong. He's one of those, like, raging, foaming at the mouth right-wing supporters is how I interpret him. It's like, the second you mention something that he does not agree with, he is instantly enraged. Like, he is a total ass. And there is nothing you can do to stop him. And he's just one of those people that he has that mindset of, I'm right, you're wrong. What I believe is true. What you believe is stupid, right? Like, that's how he treats people. So the reason that this is dedicated to him is because he and I have on several occasions gotten sort of into little arguments about various different things. For example, Obamacare and the Affordable Health Care Act, right? I was for it, totally for it. I am a huge fan of it. Now, here's the thing. I don't think it's perfect. I don't think anything out there that is ever going to be designed will be perfect. There is no such thing as perfect. And there will never be anything created that will make everyone in the country happy. Ever. Ever. Because our country has so many differing opinions and beliefs and circumstances, right? What's good for my family is not necessarily good for my neighbor or the person down the street or my uncle's family or my mom's family or my dad's family. Like, it's, everybody's different. I personally was a huge fan of the Affordable Care Act, and I still am, because it eliminated the ability for them to deny medical coverage for pre-existing conditions. And if any of you have listened to my previous podcast, it's because of the fact that my boys have traumatic brain injuries. So my son Gage, he's covered on Medicaid through disability because he's on disability. Because he has a permanent brain injury, permanent disability, it's going to cause him problems for the rest of his life. Okay? My son Connor, he does have brain injuries, but here's the kicker. His brain injuries are not significant enough to cause him significant enough delays or problems where he qualifies for disability. However, his brain injuries did and were significant enough to allow insurance companies to deny him coverage. When I applied for insurance for my son, they heard pre-existing brain injury, and immediately I was either denied or I was told that it would cost me an arm and a leg to insure him. So when Obamacare came out, I fully supported it strictly for that, for my children, for my ability to cover them on insurance without anybody telling me that they couldn't be covered because of a pre-existing condition. And that is it, right? And my uncle absolutely, like, he vehemently hated it. He's like, well, now because of this, my insurance rates go up and blah, 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 blah. Like, I mean, he ranted. And I'm like, look, I'm sorry. I appreciate that you don't like it. I get that you don't like it. But I like it for this. I support it for this. I'm sorry you don't like it, but I do support it. And I understand his opinion, like, oh, I shouldn't be forced to do this and blah, like, and I get it. But that's the difference. And that's what I constantly am trying to, you know, it's, you ever have those people that you know that they're just gonna be one way, but you're still like trying to help them become more civil human beings? It's almost like a charity project, right? Like, you're like, I understand that you are a jerk, and I get that you're a jerk, and my mission is to try and make you less jerky. Right? Like, that's my goal. And I'm fighting a losing battle with my uncle. I always am. But I refuse to allow someone else's bigotry, someone else's anger, someone else's rage and hatred to turn me into something that I despise. Right? So I refuse to match his bigotry with my own. I refuse to match his anger with my own. And it's very difficult. And many of you may run into this problem. In fact, many of you may run into this with your exes. Like, I still have to practice this with my ex a lot. I have to practice a lot because he and I have differing opinions on a lot of things. But amazingly enough, it works, right? Like, you treat that person the way you want to be treated, and sooner or later, it sort of meshes. Like, it becomes better. Things, your relationship with that person becomes better. And a lot of it with my uncle, I think, is he still has this bully mentality, right? Like, he was the mean ass uncle who treated me like crap and tried to make me cry on a regular basis. And so as a grown adult, he still tries to treat me that way to get that reaction out of me. So the best thing that I can do is match it with intelligence and patience and logic, right? And and it's almost impossible sometimes to make zealots understand logic. And regardless of whether he wants to admit that he's a zealot. Like, he's just like, and because he rages so vehemently and refuses to see additional viewpoints, and that makes him a zealot, right? So back to the whole thing. So what brought this up is recently he posted something on one of my family members. Like, he and I are not friends on Facebook, specifically because I don't want to see his rants. I don't want to see any of his crap on my feed. And I don't want him to be able to see anything on mine and comment on mine. Because my aunt she's very liberal too. Like, she's liberal. She believes in certain things. She likes Bernie Sanders. She, you know, she has a very open-minded viewpoint, right? And her belief structure aligns quite frequently with mine. And he'll post things and put things on her page just deliberately to pick a fight with her. So I refuse. I'm not even gonna, like, I don't want to see anything that you post, and I don't want you to try and put stuff on mine, because a lot of my friends have the same viewpoints as I do, which is just standard, right? You typically you're friends with a lot of people, but a lot of friends that I have, and many of them would have a field day with my uncle, and I would be having like all out wars on my Facebook page, and I don't want that. I don't want that drama. I don't want to deal with it. It's just annoying to me. But to come back to the main topic of this, recently there was a post about something. He put something on a page, or he commented on something on one of my family members' pages about how the welfare people, all those people who are on welfare, they're just scamming the system, and how, you know, they're living off him and he's paying for these lazy ass people and blah, 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 right? And this is a fairly common problem that he and I have. So, I remember what it was. My cousin posted something about, not like she wasn't going to school or something. She didn't feel well, and so she wasn't going to school. And my uncle slid in there. And again, this post had nothing to do with politics, had nothing to do with beliefs, had nothing to do with... She stayed home from school, right? And he's like, oh, another Bernie Sanders supporter, libtard, blah, 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 blah. Oh, I just said the word I said I wasn't going to say. Sorry. And so he's like, oh, da-da-da-da-da. And just, you know, diluting the world or sucking off the plant. Like, just basically saying, oh, look, you're being worthless. And I was like, you're talking to your teenage niece. Maybe tone it down a little bit. Maybe, you know, have an opinion, but maybe put it out there in a more respectful and intelligent way. Because here's the thing. I believe my uncle is an intelligent man. But once he starts spewing all of his, like, venom at people, he becomes the epitome of this redneck, gun-carrying, antlers on my truck, freaking rebel flag flying, Confederate flag. Like, he becomes that stereotype. Like that. And I hate it because, like I said, I do believe he's an intelligent man, but he can't seem to articulate himself in a fashion that comes off as an intelligent human being as opposed to straight redneck. And so it becomes very difficult to deal with him in that aspect. But anyway, so there have been many times that he's gone off on this rant about government assistance programs and how people on them are just sucking off of the government and, you know, taking advantage of hardworking Americans. And so he and I have gone on about this many times. And my cousin, like I said, another cousin of mine who fell on hard times, she's like, well, I guess then I'm just this worthless piece of crap, right? Because I had to do it. I had to go on assistance. And he kind of pushed back and he's like, you know what? It's not you. You're doing it for the reason it was intended. It's all these people who stay on it forever and da 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 da. To a point, I agree. There are many people, and that's the thing, like I tell my uncle all the time, there may be things that you and I can agree on, but because I can't get past your rhetoric and the fact that you are just blatantly raging makes it impossible to have a conversation with you. And I think that's a big problem with a lot of the political arena, right? But so anyway, you know, I do agree to a point. Of course, there are people who are going to abuse the system. There are people that abuse the system everywhere, right? Are there people who are on government assistance who are taking advantage of the government? Yes. Are there companies and corporations who are taking advantage of loopholes and hiding their income on offshore accounts so that they don't have to pay taxes into that same government? Yes. You cannot rage against one for taking advantage of the loopholes in the system without raging against the other. It doesn't work. You can't be pissed off at one part of the population and not be pissed off at the other. I really dislike the people who take advantage of government assistance programs just as much as the people who aren't on them. Because those people make it difficult for the people that do need help to get the services that they need. Now, here's the problem. So many people will complain and bitch and moan and rage against a system that they do not fully understand, that they have never been a part of. It's all well and good to say, oh, look at all these people on welfare who are taking advantage of it. If you have never been on welfare, you don't know how it works. And here's why I have a problem. You can be pissed off at the people who are quote unquote taking advantage of it or who are on it for a significant amount of time. But when the system is structured in a way that almost always guarantees dependency, you can't be mad at the people who are dependent on it. And not everybody understands that. If you have not been on government assistance, you don't understand. So for those of you who have never been on it, let me break down how it worked for me in Colorado. Okay? And this is Colorado. It's different various places, I know. Okay? It may not be true in every place, but this is how it worked for me in Colorado. Also, as a sort of little side note, I have not been on government services for quite a significant amount of time, so the rules and things may have changed since I was on it, but I highly doubt it because the system has been broken for a very long time and I don't think it's been fixed since I was in it. Now, here's how it worked for me. As a single mom, I had a full-time job. I worked from 2 in the afternoon until 10 o'clock at night when my babies were born. And while I was working there, their father watched the children. So I didn't have to worry about childcare. So I was good. Things were fine. When my son got hospitalized and I had to go through the social services process and get my children back because they were removed from our care when my son was hurt to find out who hurt him. Once that happened, I had to prove to social services that I could take care of my children as a single parent. And believe me, for whatever reason I don't understand, that took a hell of a lot longer than it should have. And that's a whole other post that I'll get into another time. But basically what it boiled down to is I didn't have childcare anymore. So I had to figure out how to have childcare. And because I was in the courts and the social services system, I was told that I had to have licensed childcare. I couldn't just leave them with my family, which didn't make sense to me, but okay. So anyway, I had to have licensed childcare. So licensed childcare for twin infants, not to mention special needs children, was going to cost me more than my rent. And to this day, that has not changed. Childcare for 2 to 3 children is almost double what my rent is. Double. So if I'm working a job where I make minimum wage, explain to me how I'm going to afford to go to that job if I have to pay for childcare. See the problem? So the thing is, and this is why I get into such arguments with my uncle, because he doesn't always understand it. Not everybody has someone who can watch their kids. Not everybody has a mom or a grandma or a cousin or an aunt or a friend who can watch their kids for free. There are so many people on government assistance who hate the fact that they are on it. They hate it with a passion. That is one of the things, the few things that I hated in my lifetime. I hated walking into that office, walking up to a complete stranger, and saying, can you please help me? I can't afford to take care of my children on my own. It is the most embarrassing, degrading thing I have ever had to do. And I felt like absolute shit doing it. Nobody wants to feel like they're failing. And no parent wants to feel like they're failing their family. Now, again, are there some people who are like, oh, I'll just go down to the office and they'll give me food and money and blah, blah, blah. Yes. And those people suck. Okay? But there are people who are normal, you know, pillars of society who are doing the same thing. I'm going to go down and open up an account in the Caymans and I'm going to hide my millions of dollars there so they can't be taxed. So the millionaires are just as bad in my eyes because they're looking for a way to hide their money so they don't have to pay anything, which is just as shitty. Okay? Period. So here's how the government system works, and this is why it's set up for failure, for dependency. I got government assistance so that I could get child care assistance. Child care. So that I could work. Because not everybody who is on welfare is a lazy piece of crap sitting on their ass eating bonbons and lobster on the government's dime. Okay? Full-time job. And I made a certain amount of money. Now, here's the kicker. To qualify for child care assistance. And here's the thing. I even went into the government office. I went and talked to my caseworker. And I was like, I don't want food stamps. I don't want you to pay my bills. I don't want you to pay my rent. I'm not asking for housing. I'm not asking for food. All I need is help with child care so I can work my full-time job and pay my bills. That's it. If you can hit me up with affordable child care, that's all I need. I want to work. I want to pay taxes. I want to do these things. And yes, I am telling the God's honest truth when I say I want to pay taxes because I know what my taxes go for. They go to help schools. They go to help roads. They help the things that I need, the police department, the fire department, all of the things that I have in my community, I know come from taxes. And I will happily pay my taxes to pay for those things. I have no problem with that. None. So, yes, I want to work full time. No, I do not want the government to pay my way. So I got help with childcare. But the lady said, if you get it, you get it all. Right? So I'm like, okay, well, I guess that'll help me, you know. Fine. I'm not going to say no if I, you know, can't. Right? So there you go. They don't give you the option to just get help with daycare. Now, again, this may have changed. But back then, I had to take, it was either all or nothing. Okay? And at the time, I'm like, okay, that's fine. Because here's the other thing. In order to qualify for the child care assistance, I had to take a pay cut. Ain't that some bullshit? Right? There is a gap between what the cutoff is for child care assistance and what one would actually have to earn in order to afford child care. And for me, it was about $15,000 annually. $15,000 annually was the difference between the cutoff for child care assistance and how much I would need to earn in order to actually afford my child care. And that is on the barest budget imaginable, with no money set aside for savings or emergencies, with no money set aside for clothing or extras or anything. Lunch money, nothing. That was just bare bones, rent, bills, food, and not much food. And that's it. No car, no insurance, no nothing. Just those items and daycare. There was still a $15,000 gap annually, and it's probably more now, right? So I'm in this program, and I'm out, and I'm working my full-time job just like they want, right? This, the whole purpose of government assistance programs is to help you until you get on your feet, till you get back to work, till you get that promotion, whatever it is, right? Until you get back on your feet. That's the crux of the government assistance programs. That's what they're intended for. However, you get your job, you work, you do good, you stay at that job for a long time, you do a good job, you work hard like you're supposed to. And what happens in a job where you do a good job, you work hard, and you're there for an extended period of time? You get a raise, right? You get promoted. You move up the ladder. That's what you want, right? That's the dream. You don't want to stay at an entry-level job forever. You want to do better. Nobody wants to serve burgers at McDonald's for the rest of their life. Maybe they want to manage, right? The goal is to do better. But here's the thing. The second you get that raise, if you make even a dollar over the cutoff limit for child care assistance, you lose it. It's gone. You no longer have it. whether you are able to afford your childcare now or not. And that was where I was stuck for a very long time. So when I get into these arguments with my uncle, I tell him, do you know that I was on government assistance for 8 years, on and off for 8 years? 8 years. Did I intend to be on government assistance for 8 years? Hell no. Hell no. But that was the cycle I was stuck in. Get government assistance for the child care assistance. Work my ass off. Do a good job. Get a raise. Oh, you make too much money. You don't get child care assistance anymore. Okay, well, I can't actually afford my child care yet because I'm still not making enough for my child care. So what are my options? If I don't have child care, I can't go to work. So what happens when you can't go to work? You lose your job. And then what happens? I'm back down at the office applying for assistance again because I have no job. Now, I could work two jobs, work a job full time, and then a second job just to pay for the child care for the first job. But who watches my kids while I'm working that second job? My family? My parents? Maybe. So I would work a full time job, work the second job in order to pay for the child care that helps me work that first job. Yeah, that sounds like a good idea, but then when do I sleep? When do I see my children? So that was my circumstances for a very long time. So while I understand that there are people who abuse the system, there are people that abuse every system. There are people who abuse the tax system and do not file taxes on income. There are people who get away with things all the time. Now, does that mean that every corporation is crooked and not paying their taxes? No. And that's where my uncle and I will always butt heads, because no matter what, in his mind, if you're only using it for that temporary situation, then it's okay, because that's what it's intended for. But if you're on it for longer, then you're abusing the system. But he's not mad at the system. He's mad at the people. And that's what drives me crazy. It drives me absolutely insane. The people who stand there and they, you know, it's like there's a story I think I remember from when I was a kid, but like it's still a good analogy. A man is walking down a path and all of a sudden he comes to a mountain and he stands there and he can't pass and he can't get through and he can't go over. So he stands there and screams at it for being a mountain. He stands there and screams at the problem instead of trying to find a solution to the problem, right? And that may not be the best analogy, and I'm probably remembering it wrong, but that's like what it is. The people who stand there and scream about the problem, the people that abuse it, the people that abuse it, the people that abuse it, instead of looking at the system itself and how it's structured and why it has been built in a fashion where people can abuse it, where people can and do get stuck in it. You know, I tell people all the time, I wasn't a welfare queen. I was a welfare hostage, because that's what it felt like. I felt like I was a hostage in this system, that every time things got better for me, the system was set up in a way where it was like, oh, things got better for you. Good. We're cutting you off. And now I'm getting sucked back into it because I got cut off. It's not built in a way to wean people off of it. It's like, you know, anything that you, that helps and is supportive of you should, yes, help you learn how to live without it, but be built in a way, in a fashion that will sort of gently wean you into the process of being self-sufficient. It's not built to help with self-sufficiency. It's built for dependency. whether people want to admit it or not. And the people who sit there and say, no, no, it was built just to help you a little bit when you needed it, and then you can get off of it. And yeah, maybe that works for some. The people who lost the $60,000, $70,000 a year jobs who needed it in the interim while they went and looked for another $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 a year job. Yeah, that's great. But for people who make minimum wage and need childcare, no. No, it's not built in a way to help them at all. They are surely going to stay stuck in it forever unless some other circumstance comes along that gives them that way out. A mom who can watch their kids, a grandma who can watch their kids, a friend, some way. So when I lost my job at the office that I was working, I decided I was going to work any job where I didn't have to pay for childcare, because that was the only way I was going to get off government assistance. The only way. So I was like, okay, I will work graveyards, because if I work graveyards, I can leave my kids with my friends and all they have to do is just be there while they sleep, right? That's easy. That's an easy gig, you know, because here's the other thing. I have special needs kids. So it's not like any, you know, Sally down the street could watch my son. He had special needs. So having somebody who has the ability to work or deal with a special needs child is even harder and more expensive, right? Okay? So let's not also forget the people who are on government assistance programs because they have children with MS, because they have children with cerebral palsy, because they have children who have autism or brain injuries or are paralyzed, right? Who require special care. And that special care is not cheap. What about those people? Right? So this idea that it's only for a short time and anybody who uses it for longer is abusing the system is crap. It's crap. Because as a whole, that's not true. Many of the people on government assistance programs are elderly because they are on disability and it's not much. They are on Social Security and it's not much. So how else do they pay their bills and get food and take care of themselves? Government assistance programs. And yes, it's long term, because they're not going to stop being elderly tomorrow. Their Social Security isn't going to go up enough tomorrow, right? So my uncle will sit there and rage and rage and rage about those who are abusing the system, but he doesn't see the underlying dysfunction that's causing that abuse. People who bitch and moan and complain about welfare queens, I guarantee you, 99.9% of them have never been on welfare, have never seen in person and experienced what it's like to be on government assistance programs and expect to do better. You're in a system that says, we'll help you get back on your feet. But once you're back on your feet, we're cutting you off regardless of whether you can make it. So really, you're not back on your feet. You just have a job. Good for you. I had to go at one point in my life and walk into my employer's office, the head of HR, and sit down, and I looked at him and I said, I have a question, and I guarantee you it's one that you have never heard before. And he looked at me and he goes, okay. And I said, I need to know if you can pay me less. Less. Not more. Not I want to raise. Less. Because here's the thing. And it shocked him. He's like, yeah, I've never heard that before. You're right. That is not something anyone has ever asked me. And I had to explain to him in tears. You know I'm a single mom. You know I have two children. I have government assistance to help me pay for my childcare. Recently, you guys gave me a raise, which I really appreciate, but it put me over my income level and they're going to cut my childcare. So here are my two options. Either you guys pay me less so that I'm back under the limit. Well, I actually have three options. You pay me less so I'm back under the limit and I can still get my government assistance for my child care and I can continue working here. Or you give me a $25,000, well, no, what was it? No, it was 18, sorry, $18,000 a year raise. Or I have to quit. Those are my three options. And I don't want to quit because I love working here. And I don't think you guys are willing to give me an $18,000 a year raise. And he said, no, because then at that point you'd be making more than your superior. I'm like, yeah, I know. So they had to pay me less. It was such a strange circumstance. And that's the situation with government assistance programs right now. And that's my biggest problem with them. And my biggest issue with people like my uncle, who rage and rage about the liberals who are destroying this country and the ones who think the government owes them a free ride. I don't think government owes me a shit. They don't owe me a damn thing except the right to pursue happiness, right? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And here's the thing. That document doesn't even guarantee happiness. It just guarantees that I can pursue it. That's it. It's just like, we can't promise you'll be happy, but you can try. That's all. That's all my government owes me. My civil rights, my basic rights, they don't owe me anything. I'm not expecting a free ride. I never have. But that same government is the one who set up a program intended to help people. That's a double-edged sword, and it's a trap. It's a trap that most people can't get out of. And those who complain about it spend more time complaining about it than trying to figure out a solution for it. And that is what bothers me about people like my uncle. I love him. He's family. You're screaming at the problem and screaming about the problem without trying to figure out a way to change it. The same can be said about the other side. Us, the people who are experiencing this. We hate it. We complain about it. We need to do stuff about it. We need to figure out a way to improve the system. And it can be done. But people have to take action about it, right? It's not just yelling about it. It's not just screaming about it. For me, my plan was not necessarily to change the system, though God, that's what I would love. And every day I look and I think, how can we do this? How can it happen? You know, when I hear politicians talk about universal child care, holy crap, that right there could mean the world to families. Now, I know that it's not as simple as proposing it and say, here, have free childcare, right? I know that there has to be structures around that and ways to pay for it. But God, can you imagine? I mean, as a mom, as a parent, if they said to me, look, we're going to offer universal health care, universal childcare to families that need it. But those families who utilize it will pay more in taxes. Heck yeah, charge me. If you can offer me affordable childcare, I will gladly give up half, if not more, of my income tax refund every year. I will give up. I will pay more in taxes, happily, to help those who need the help that I so desperately could not get. And I guarantee you there are a lot of people out there, because that's the thing. If you can offer those people, the people that you think are leeching off of the government, I guarantee you 90% of them don't want to be there. 90% of the moms and dads and families who are on those programs do not want to be on them. They hate down to their core that they have to have them. They would much rather be working that full-time job and paying for childcare. But they can't, because they can't afford it. They're stuck. Figure out a way to make that happen. And I guarantee you, those families, you give them that opportunity. You say, hey, you don't have to be on government assistance anymore. You don't have to take food stamps. You don't have to take this. We're going to make childcare affordable so you can get back to work. But it'll cost you a little more in taxes. Fine. I guarantee you they will all sign on. Make it so that it's livable. And again, I know it's easy to say in theory, but there has to be a way to make that work. There just has to be. And for those, for now, for me, the way I got out of it, I started my own business working from home. I jumped off of a cliff that I had no idea how I was going to make it happen, but I figured it out on my way down. And I built that net for myself to catch me after I jumped, right? I didn't know what the hell I was doing, but I knew I couldn't go back to work in an office and afford childcare. I knew I couldn't do it. I knew that if I kept going the way I was going, things were never going to change for me. I was going to stay on government assistance forever. Forever. Or I was going to be back living with my folks, or I was going to be homeless with my kids. Those were my options. So I started working from home, my own business, as a virtual assistant. That's how I started. I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I found it on the internet. I'm like, oh, what's a virtual assistant? Never heard of it. Looked it up, figured it out, started doing it. And after, in less than a year, I was able to get off of all government assistance programs, with the exception of Medicaid for my kids, so that they had medical coverage. That was it. That was it. Because I wasn't at a point yet, self-employed, where I could afford to pay for insurance out of pocket. Okay? And then Affordable Health Care Act came along and boom, done. No more government assistance programs. And that's it. That's the only way I was able to do it. So yes, it is possible to do in the current environment. But if you want to complain about how many people are on government assistance programs, maybe we need to start figuring out why they can't get off of them. Because not all of them are sitting there going, yeah, I'm just going to kick back and let the government pay for everything. Not all of them are doing that. And it enrages me when people assume that they are. Which is why my uncle and I butt heads all the time. Because it's really easy to condemn something if you haven't lived it. If you haven't experienced it, if you haven't gone through it, it is really easy to condemn and to judge. Hell, my daughter's dad, still to this day, he'll ask me on regular, when he's pissed off at me and he's being a jerk and we're arguing, he'll look at me, he's like, well, I'm so much better than you. I've got this house, I got a house, I got a business and blah, blah, blah. You're just jealous. He's like, what? You're still on government assistance, right? Are you still getting food stamps? Because he thinks that it'll hurt me or hurt my feelings. I'm like, no, I haven't been on food stamps for, 7 years? But yeah, for a while I was on them because I needed it. I needed the help. But that's not something that you should look down your nose at me for. I'm doing what I need to do to provide for my kids. You want to be pissed off that it took me so long to get off government assistance? Then you start looking at the programs and how they're designed. Because it's not because I sat on my ass thinking the government was going to owe me a free ride. It was nothing like that. The day I was able to tell them I don't need this anymore, turn it off, was the best frickin' day of my life. Don't put any more money on this card. I don't need you to send me money. I don't need any of your help anymore. Thank you. Best day ever. Because I was proud of myself. I was happy that I was able to do what I needed to do for my family and nobody had to help me. Best day ever. And those of you who think you get to say that everybody out there is just mooching off the system. You have no idea what you're talking about. None. You should see the other side before you start judging it. And that's my rant for today. That's my podcast for today. I hope you guys enjoyed this. If you've ever experienced this, if you are currently going through this, you know, I would love to hear your story. I would love to hear the struggles that you're going through and why things are like this for you, what's gone on. Obviously, it's a very personal thing. And, you know, I know that it's hard to share that, but, or if you were able to get off of government assistance programs, how that finally was able to happen for you. I would love that. So if you haven't, if you're not listening to this on the blog, go to thesinglemomblog.com, go to the podcast section, find this podcast, leave a comment. I want to hear if you've been in this struggle, if you're still in this struggle, if you're fighting this fight. I want to hear it, because so many people out there, they get judged. You're on government assistance? Oh, you're mooching off the system. You're lazy. No, I'm not. Right? And it's so easy for people to judge it, and it makes me so frustrated because they don't know what it's like. So I would love to hear from you. Please, like I said, go to thesinglemomblog.com, leave a comment. And if you haven't done so, please, if you're listening to this on iTunes or if you're not, go to iTunes, find the podcast, and give us some feedback. Leave us a rating. I'd love to hear from you. Thank you so much for listening to my rant. I hope you found it helpful in some fashion. I hope you found it validating. And if you are currently struggling, if you are currently fighting this fight, it can and will get better. You can make this happen for yourself. There are ways. Sometimes you feel like you're stuck. You're stuck in the system. You got to think outside the box and figure out a way to make it happen. You can do it. I know you can. If I can do it, anybody can do it, right? And I know that's easy to say, but seriously, there's nothing special about me, right? I mean, I'm special and all, but there's nothing more special about me than there is about you. You can do this. You can make it happen. You can make it work. You can figure it out, okay? Thank you so much for listening. I hope you have a fantastic day. Take care. And don't ever forget how awesome you are. Have a great day. Bye. Thanks for joining me today for the Single Mom Success Podcast. Be sure to follow us on all our social media platforms. And if you haven't subscribed to our newsletter yet, head on over to thesinglemomblog.com to make sure you never miss out on our most recent posts and podcasts. Thanks again, and never forget, you rock.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.